It's Tuesday, April 11th.
Today's WBFO brief was recorded at around 8:30 in the morning. This is WBFO News. Here's Jay Moran.
Governor Kathy Hochul has nominated Rowan D. Wilson as chief judge of the state's highest court, her second candidate for the job. If approved, Wilson would become the first black person to hold the position. Wilson is a Harvard Law School graduate who currently serves as an associate judge of the Court of Appeals, a position he's held since 2017. Hochul's nomination of Wilson comes after Hector LaSalle, her initial pick for chief judge, was rejected by Democrats in her own party. A convicted sex offender in Chautauqua County has been sentenced to 125 years to life in prison. 27-year-old Dustin Post of Silver Creek was convicted in a February jury trial on six counts of predatory sexual assault against a child. Following the sentencing from County Court Judge David Foley, Chautauqua County District Attorney Jason Schmidt released an extensive statement on the case. Schmidt credited a number of agencies for assistance, including the Child Advocacy Program and their group of counselors and forensic interviewers, which developed evidence and, quote-unquote, maintained the integrity of the case. And 22 new electric vehicle charging stations are now available across western New York. National Grid spent over $150,000 on its EV Make Ready programs to provide incentives to build the Level 2 charging stations, which can provide an EV with 150 miles of range and 4 to 8 hours of charging time. Already past its deadline of April 1st, the state budget is being delayed again. Lawmakers have issued a second spending extender that will cover the state's expenses through next Monday. The bill ensures that biweekly checks for 83,000 state workers will go out on schedule as the legislature and Governor Kathy Hochul continue to work through their priorities. The 29-year-old charged with leading police through a high-speed chase of gunfire through the streets of Buffalo a year ago pleaded guilty to multiple felony counts on Monday. Kente Bell of Buffalo pleaded guilty to all charges in an indictment against him, including three violent felony counts of attempted murder. Bell was stopped by Buffalo police early in the evening on March 29th of last year before he drove away from the traffic stop at West Ferry and Niagara Street and led police on a citywide chase that resulted in shots being fired during three separate occasions. One officer was wounded in the various gunfire exchanges and the vehicle crashed on East Ferry near Fillmore Avenue. Bell was also wounded in the exchange. With winds and generally dry conditions, a special weather statement issued by the National Weather Service over elevated fire weather concerns this afternoon and early evening. And just the reminder that the annual statewide burn ban is in effect until May 14th. Well, with no state budget in place, lawmakers have passed a spending extender for the second week in a row to help keep the state running. WBFO Albany correspondent Karen DeWitt reports.
Lawmakers return during a two-week holiday break to approve the second one-week extender. That will take the state through next Monday. Senate Finance Committee Chair Liz Krueger spoke on the Senate floor.
There are no budget bills in print for us to vote on today. Hence, in order to ensure that the state of New York continue its government in operation with its workers being paid, we need to pass an additional extender today.
The bill ensures that biweekly checks for 83,000 state workers will go out on schedule. Senators and assembly members will not be among those getting paid, though. Under state law, their pay is held in escrow until the new spending plan is approved. Republicans, who are in the minority party in both houses, complained about the second one-day session that's been held since the budget deadline was missed on April 1st. The ranking Republican on the Senate Finance Committee, Tom O'Mara, says everyone knew that the Passover and Easter holidays were going to make it difficult to get back to work until April 17th. He says doing one longer-term extender on April 1st would have saved taxpayers money. Even though lawmakers are not being paid their salary, they still can collect travel and related expenses for each trip to Albany. That adds up to an estimated total of $70,000 each time.
And saved the state the expense of calling the legislature back here for one day last Monday and one day today.
Governor Kathy Hochul, speaking over the weekend outside the governor's mansion, where she was hosting an Easter egg roll for neighborhood children, says it's more important to get the right budget than an on-time budget. Hochul is seeking changes to the state's 2019 bail reform laws to give judges more power to hold defendants accused of serious crimes before they go to trial. She wants to eliminate a clause in the law that requires judges to use the least restrictive means when deciding whether to set bail or not.
My priorities have been clear from the very beginning. I'm going to make sure that we have bail laws that give the judges the discretion that I believe they should have. It is simply clarifying law that has added to confusion.
Democrats who lead the legislature have not agreed to the changes. They say the data does not show that the bail reform laws are responsible for the recent crime surge and are being made a scapegoat. Assembly Speaker Carl Hastie was asked by reporters if there's been any progress bridging that gap.
Nothing's been settled.
Hochul is also seeking an ambitious housing program. It would allow the state to override local zoning laws as part of a plan to build over 800,000 new housing units in the next few years. The governor says something needs to be done to ease the state's affordability crisis.
I cannot say that we can leave this legislative session and this budget process without doing something substantial to increase the housing stock in the state. We have a severe shortage.
State lawmakers have rejected proposals to interfere with municipality zoning regulations. They instead want to increase grants to localities to encourage more housing construction. Hochul and lawmakers are at odds on other significant portions of the budget, including whether to allow more charter schools to open and whether tuition should be raised at state universities. The governor and legislature also disagree on whether to ban flavored tobacco products, including menthol cigarettes. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
An Indian citizen living in Ontario was extradited to the United States last week to face charges of smuggling migrants across the border. His correspondent Dan Karpinchuk reports the man is said to have boasted that he smuggled as many as 1,000 people both ways across the border.
U.S. federal prosecutors say the man, 40-year-old Simranjeet Singh, lived in Brampton, Ontario, northwest of Toronto. He appeared in an Albany court to face 6 counts of alien smuggling for profit, as well as 3 counts of conspiracy to commit smuggling. Singh has pleaded not guilty to the charges. According to court documents filed in Ontario as part of the extradition process, one migrant arrested by U.S. authorities said he paid Singh $35,000 to smuggle him across the border. Singh is accused of moving people illegally into both countries from Cornwall Island through Akwesasne Mohawk territory. It borders on New York, Ontario, and Quebec and straddles the St. Lawrence River. Singh had lost his refugee claim in Canada, but he could not be deported because he did not have an Indian passport. And lawyers like James Bray acknowledge that fighting extradition to the U.S. is not easy.
Even if a person is extradited, it doesn't mean that they're guilty of any offense. It doesn't mean that they've done anything that they're accused of doing. It just means that the requesting state has managed to meet that extremely low hurdle.
Singh himself did not fight the extradition process. If convicted, he could spend up to 15 years in prison. It's not believed his case is linked to the deaths of 8 people last week who were attempting to cross the St. Lawrence into the U.S. from Canada through Akwesasne. For WBFO News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk in Toronto.
Don't forget to like or subscribe so you can help others find this podcast. And if you love it, leave a review too. The WBFO Brief Podcast and the award-winning journalism of WBFO's news team are made possible by our members. Thank you for listening.